Good afternoon. I'm Angela Funai. I have the privilege of serving this year as the chair of the staff council, and I truly appreciate all of you for taking the time to come to our general listening session for staff. It is really, I just can't convey enough how much of a tremendous opportunity this is for us as staff to have an opportunity to make suggestions, to give opinions, and this is what this time is for. And so I encourage you to make the most of it and speak up. We do have a microphone here in the middle. All of these general listening sessions are being taped so that they can be posted on the website as an audio podcast, so to speak. So when you have a comment, if you could please come to the microphone, that would be very helpful. And I'd like to introduce Mr. Joe Arms, who is serving as chair of the Presidential Search Committee, and he's going to introduce the rest of the folks here.
Great. Thank you, Angela. Thank you for joining us today. We really appreciate your time. We know this is a very busy time of year as we close out the academic year, and so we especially appreciate your willingness to take this time to come and share with us your thoughts, your input, your wisdom for our search. And so let me introduce who we have here with Sue Gatterman on the end, who everybody knows Sue. She needs no introduction. In Waco, a fellow regent, Wes Bailey, also a fellow regent here in Waco, local businessman. We've got Pastor Romero Pena here, who is a pastor at Christ the King Church here in Baptist Church here in Waco and a regent. And then Dr. Ken Hall, who's president and CEO of Buckner International, who is chairman of the Presidential Search Advisory Committee. And so as you probably know, this is a series. We've had a series of sessions like this. Some have been public, some have been more private, but sessions with various groups. We've met with students, we've met with faculty, we've now met with staff council, and now an open session with all staff. We've met with executive council, with the deans, and others, and we expect to begin meeting with alumni around the state as early as next week. I think we have our first session already planned for Houston next week, and then we'll be making other stops around the state to meet with and to hear from alumni. And so we really appreciate this opportunity to be with you today. Angela has done a great job in organizing this and keeping us on task with respect to the staff and reminding us of the wonderful and talented and devoted 1,200 or so staff members that really make the university run. And so we appreciate you and all that you do. And you should know that Angela is already making a meaningful contribution to our committee and to the advisory committee. We had a meeting this morning, and she is a strong advocate for the staff and for your interests and for your perspective. And so you are very well represented by Angela. Thank you. But we really are blessed to have you as part of the team, part of the Baylor family here. Oftentimes, staff can be forgotten, and so we want to make sure that you hear from us our gratitude and our thanks for you. Faculty, students, and staff make this university great, so thank you. I said in the staff council, and I just want to say again, when we met, I did this a few years ago, and when we met with the staff, I was so impressed with the staff, the comments, the thoughtful input that you had, and it was just really, really encouraging to me to hear the mission-centered thinking and the people, the comments that were made, and the way that you had really, really adopted Baylor's mission. You were here for a reason. So many of you made comments that let us know that this was really a calling for you. You were here. You'd chosen to be here. You'd chosen this over other opportunities, and you were at Baylor because you believed in the mission. And so that is really, really so important and so impressive, and probably the reason why you're so effective and so good at what you do. So thank you. Now, we are, as we said, hosting listening sessions, and so we have billed these as listening only so that we can hear from you instead of you hearing from us. And so that is what is intended. You may have been on our website, on the Presidential Search website, and there are some questions there that we have asked you to respond to electronically. We also invite you to respond to those here today. But those are only prompts and ideas. We don't intend in any way to limit the discussion to that. We really want your best advice and your wisdom on Baylor's next president. Some of the questions that are on that list are questions relating to the personal attributes the professional experience, background, and attributes of Baylor's next president. We ask what types of things will this person need to bring to the table, this man or woman, bring to the table to meet the challenges that we have before us. And then lastly, I think the last question has to do with how do we sell Baylor? And we all acknowledge and recognize that this will be a recruitment process as much as it will be a selection process. And so we need to do an effective job of communicating the opportunity and the compelling vision that that makes Baylor what it is, and hopefully draw people to that opportunity. Folks that identify with our mission, and folks that really want to be a part of the unique proposal that we make at Baylor University. So, with all of that, our verse for this session, for these sessions, has been Proverbs 12:15. The way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. So we're here to listen to you, and we invite you in your comments.
You forgot to tell them the hard questions.
Right. Well, I did, yeah. Romero reminds me that we build these as listening sessions intentionally so that we can avoid answering any hard questions directly. So I will use that as necessary. So please. Who wants to, it's always hard to go first, but. Oh, yeah, would you please identify yourself when you get to the microphone so we'll make sure everybody knows. Thanks, Wes. Come on. Come on, Dana. My old classmate.
Dana Lee Haynes, Division of Student Life. You may have already addressed this since I missed the opening, but I'm noticing from the presence of the search committee here that representation from the advisory committee only includes a staff member. Is there a reason why we're not seeing the other members from faculty in different areas that should also be here in order to gain a broader perspective of the community and so forth of what we are looking for at Baylor, particularly with the search for the president?
Okay, Dana, I can't avoid your questions. Dr. Ken Hall, chairman of the advisory committee, is here as well. And so we have really tried to be kind of focused in the way we've done this, had staff session related to the staff representative on the advisory committee. We've done the same thing with respect to faculty. We've done the same thing with respect to students. So that's just the way these things have been organized in order to allow the staff to address staff-related issues. So that, I mean, I don't think you wanted alumni coming in and bringing in alumni issues into the staff meeting. And we don't want students in the bringing in issues, student issues into the faculty. So we're just trying to provide a forum for staff here. And Angela represents you and has done that quite well. And so the idea is for this session to be focused on staff issues. And so just trying to kind of divide the labor and divide up our time in an efficient manner so that we can hear from each constituent group individually and hear your comments and your input specifically as it relates to staff matters. Here, take this, Ellie. Just for the recording.
Oh, good. Let me put who I am. I'm Ellie Kasten. I'm the director of the Mabor Museum, and that's the best job on campus. You guys know that. We love that. How do I put this? I was fortunate enough to come to Baylor 12 years ago, but I spent the majority of my career in what I call the real world. We are so blessed at Baylor to have our wonderful museum and all the resources that you provide for us, so I acknowledge that. So from the standpoint of a new president coming in, one of your questions is about the experiences, and I know the experience they bring, and I know that's a big issue. Obviously, from a faculty standpoint, we want someone with scholarship and understanding and relationship to faculty, but I think in order to maybe relate to staff, maybe some real-world experience. I know it's a tricky thing between kind of a business background and an academic background, and but I think it's so important for that relationship to the staff to be someone who has really worked in the real world, maybe experienced in the real world, and had a lot of direct relationship with staff, and acknowledging the importance of yes, we need great faculty and students, but to make sure that the staff feels appreciated and valued. I know everyone in this room is feeling the same way I am. We're really disappointed in the low numbers that are here. And I hope it's the rain and not the feeling that it doesn't really matter what we think. Because I think you have made it very clear that you care about what the staff has to say. And I appreciate that very much. But maybe the idea that a president is going to be sensitive to the nature of what it feels like to be a staff member. And sometimes it doesn't feel real good that we are kind of looked at, oh yeah, and staff, you know. So maybe that would help. Good.
Thank you, Ellie.
Sure.
I'm going to kind of go back to what I previously asked with this. I understand Mr. Hall's here and Angela's here. But one of the things, again, that I want to reiterate is that if we have the faculty member and the community member here and the Alumni Association, they're actually able to see who the staff are. They're actually able to see this part of Baylor University. Because what Dr. Kasten has referred to numerous times, staff are left out. And I think when they're able to see everybody and they see a face and they see a name and they hear a voice, then they realize that is what makes Baylor complete, because many staff have graduated from Baylor and are in this room that are alums. And so one of the suggestions I would have is perhaps in another session is to have one that is a general session that invites everyone together as a community to do the same thing we're asking here, and what do we want in a president? Because I would hope that when the president is selected, that that individual does recognize every constituent and that it is not separated, but we all are all working together for the same purpose. Thank you.
Thank you, Dana.
My name is Sarah Levine. I am also from the Mayburn Museum. I think one thing that I want to thank you all for being here today and for allowing us this opportunity. For me, one of the most important things is something that represents Baylor to me, and that is the caring and compassion for each other that we have here at Baylor. I think we've heard many people talk about the Baylor family, and I really feel that that is kind of what sets Baylor apart from other schools and universities. And I think especially in these trying economic times, we need someone who understands the feelings of the employees and understands if it comes time to make cuts, understands what that means and how to handle that in a compassionate way. I read an article recently about a Jewish hospital that was really running out of money. You all may have read this too. And they knew that they had to make cuts, but the director said, you know, I know that the people who clean the rooms and the people who, take the patients down for x-rays need the money as badly as anybody else. So he called all the staff together and said, here's what we have to do. How can we meet this lower budget? And people did voluntarily take pay cuts and worked extra and did things to keep them from having to lay people off. And that really touched me, and I thought, you know, I hope that Baylor will get a president who would have that kind of approach to any problem and to really look out for all of us here at Baylor in such a compassionate way.
Thank you.
It's not the entire staff, but it's four of us anyhow. My name is Patricia Packett. I'm also at the Mayborn Museum. Can you shed light on some of the things I've been hearing today? And I hate rumors, but now's a good time to talk about it. A couple of the things I heard today is that the Regents has already made up their mind and already have somebody in place. And can you touch on that at all, Joe?
Sure, absolutely. The Regents did make up their mind. We offered the job to Angela, but she turned us down. So, exactly. No, there's been absolutely no decision to be made. We've tried in every sense to make this an open process. To that end, we have, in the community meeting that we had last week with community leaders, someone made the statement, and I won't quote them by name, but they said, "I'm surprised you're not further along than you are in the process." And I said, "Well, actually, we're waiting to hear from the constituents. It would be kind of disingenuous of us to create a profile, put together all the specs, and advertise the job before we've had a chance to hear from the listening sessions that we have set up for that purpose." And so none of that work has been done. We haven't even put together a profile or a job description or anything like that because we wanted to hear from these groups first. Gather the information. We want to benefit from the wisdom that we can get here, get all the information we can together, and then take the next step. We had a meeting. The search consultant was here this morning with the meeting with the advisory committee, and we started talking about time. You know, people are always asking about timelines. We don't even have a timeline yet, Patricia. So no decisions have been made, period, full stop.
Chairman, may I make a comment?
Only if you speak into the microphone.
For the record, this is Ramiro Pena. I mean, I appreciate the question because in settings like this, there's lots of fear-mongering that can easily take off, and gossip and just all kinds of stuff that take on a life of their own. But the comment I'd like to make is that these are very busy people sitting here right now. If you know anything about Mr. Arms as the CFO of Hicks Holdings, I mean, if he was three people, he'd still be busy. And you know, I'd like to say that if I had already made up my mind, or if the board had, I am way too busy to waste time with a farce of all these listening sessions. Okay? That really is just about as irritating as it can get, that I would waste all this time and not really care about what's being said. Being a local regent, I've made the effort to be at every single listening session. I'm taking this very seriously. And if we weren't doing a serious search, I've got a few other things I need to be doing, okay? And I think that goes for all of my colleagues on the search committee and the advisory committee. These are very busy people, and their time is being well spent listening to you.
I probably get asked this question more than anybody from the advisory committee. Let me just say that I think every one of us who were enlisted to serve on the advisory committee asked that question first. If this is already a done deal, then I don't have the time to do it, nor do I want to put my endorsement on something that would already be. So just to help us with those rumors, we actually, as Mr. Arms said, we don't even have a job description at this point. We've not even solicited applications yet. The first thing was listening sessions, and that was focusing in April and May. We start next week with alumni sessions, and we're traveling all over the state. We tried to do the campus work first because of the end of the semester. And we will hopefully finish our listening sessions the end of May and then begin the committee work, which is the next step. So, you know, any time you can just help us with stating the facts or giving us a chance to state the facts, that really does help. And the point that Romero made is true. I think to think that we are that manipulative or that the regents are that manipulative is frankly something that would not is not conducive to the future. So we're really trying to say that we've got a chance to do it right this time. Let's do it right, and let's take our time. The campus seems to be doing well. There's a good esprit de corps among the people. Let's take our time and do it right and find the very best candidate and look the countrywide, far and wide, to find the best he or she that would be the president.
And if Angela changes her mind, you'll be the first to know. Okay, we have other questions we could ask, but anybody? Come on. All right, come on.
Well, it took me a while because I'm not even sure if I know how to ask this. I'm Catherine Brogdon from Armstrong Browning. I run into issues of ethics in the area that I work in. And, you know, and I'm not going to say anything about any one, you know, administration. I've just been through the good, the bad, the ugly, and it's all been there. You know, I tend to be on the edge of campus. I miss a lot of the explosions that go on the rest of campus. But I would like to see a president who takes into consideration the expertise of staff rather than assuming that they already understand everything that's going on. In my area where I work in, I'm always concerned about ethics. I'm always concerned about protecting the investments of past donors, you know, trusts that have been given us. I don't want to go into example specific, but I'd like to see future donors are being courted. I would like to see I'd like to see the interests of past donors also protected. Being in the Armstrong Browning Library, you know, just about every conceivable event that can go on, you know, people want to hold it in there. And of course, I'm always concerned about the protection of the paintings and things like that, and all the issues that go with special events and the things that, you know, happen just inadvertently. But I sometimes feel like some of the uses that the library where I work at has been put to has actually been detrimental to a position of trust that we have with things that people have given us. So I guess what I'm saying in a nutshell is just I'd like to get a personality who is willing to ask staff members, you know, what are the issues of your area before we assume that we can do something there, you know, without thinking who we're damaging. Thank you.
Thank you. And what a treasure the Armstrong Browning Library is. It really is. Yes.
Hi, I'm Amber Adamson. I work in university development, and I kind of have a twofold suggestion. I think that, for one, we should have a president who would be willing to sit in your seat and have a couple listening sessions with the faculty, with the staff, with the alumni, just to hear our voices, hear our opinions, hear the history, and understand our concerns and suggestions, where we're coming from. And also, I think we need a president who can represent the university well, plain and simple. Good speaker, good communicator, good listener, someone who we can be proud of, because I'm in development, to send out and represent us all across the country. Mm. So those are my two suggestions.
Good. Thank you very much.
Eric Abercrombie with University Development as well. I'd kind of like to second the comment she just made. I think that I certainly don't envy your job in trying to find the next president. I think that in going out and visiting with donors and then just visiting with faculty and staff, it's almost like this is our last shot of it if we're really going to try and go somewhere with this great university. I think that coming from a background in public relations, I think this person needs to have a good concept of what public relations is all about, how to interact with the community. Those of you that are part of the Waco community, I think this person needs to be a partner with the Waco community. I used to work with the Waco Chamber of Commerce, and really, you know, as Waco, as Baylor grows, so does Waco, and I think the two are inseparable, and I think that this president needs to be a big partner with the Chamber of Commerce and the city of Waco, because I think, you know, we're as we continue to grow, we're a big part of that, and so I think that immediately when this person gets on ground, they need to be involved with the Waco community. Same thing with having listening sessions, maybe when they first come on board. But really, going out and visiting with donors, they're sick and tired of this. You know, they want to have good leadership in place, somebody who has great vision, but is able to do it with tact and a softness to them, but still having that direction to really drive the university forward. Because, you know, we're in the Big 12, and we're a big conference, and we're getting there, but there's still a lot of areas that we need to increase upon, and I think we need to have somebody that has strong leadership but can do it with that soft and gentle touch.
Thank you, Eric. Just so you know, we did have a listening session with the Waco community leaders, and it went really well. I believe we had a great attendance, and you know, kind of reiterated our commitment to the community and wanted to certainly consider and recognize the importance of the Waco community and our opportunity as a Christian university to be a different sort of university and not just have the traditional town and gown type relationship, but to be different and to be Christ-like in all our relationships, especially in the community, and opportunities to reach out not only to the Chamber of Commerce, but to the least of these here in Waco, and opportunities to serve them.
I'll ask a question.
Sure.
Okay, since you're being shy, I'll ask a question and ask for someone to input. Let's say that 2 years from today, we're sitting here in this room together, and this is an opportunity for us to celebrate and brag about what has been accomplished. What has our new president done? What has this person been to the Baylor community so that 2 years from today, you would be back in this room and you would be at the microphone saying, wow, this is what has happened.
Ella Smith. I'm with University Development. Being a born and raised Wacoan, when Angela asked that question, I thought this is a great time to give input from the community and staff. I just think, I would hope that in 2 years, the perception of Waco as a whole concerning Baylor is inclusive. The city of Waco is included in Baylor activities, and when I came to work here, I was excited. I tell everybody that I come in contact with that I used to sit in the concrete end zone with my dad every home game, and that excitement about Baylor from the community, to me, I always shake when I talk. The excitement from the community, I think, has been missing for a long time.
Good point.
When I started working at Baylor, it was my whole family. My sister and brother-in-law have graduated from here, and I never went to college, but it was just kind of making me feel more included in the Baylor family, and I would hope more people in the community would have that experience and for Baylor to just open their arms, you know, and have staff like me who haven't attended Baylor but still feel like Baylor is home, and that we feel welcomed and not less than because we didn't get a degree here, but we embrace Baylor as a whole and, you know, are cheering the teams on and want to come and work here, not have this fear of not being welcomed. And the president can have a lot to do with that if he is visible in the community and is open to someone saying hi and you know, carrying on a conversation in the community and not being invisible, but being a face that the community feels comfortable with and has that compassion and that that heart for community. And that's just, thank you for the question that prompted me.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Mary Reinhart, and I work in admission services with transfer students. In a new position and a new emphasis from the university, and I've had the opportunity since November to be on about 24 different community college campuses. And it's exciting to see how well we are received, and it's fun to throw out that table top and it says Baylor University and everybody goes, wow, you know, we haven't seen Baylor here in a while. That's fun and it's exciting. It's fun to have faculty that teach at those community colleges come up and say, we are so glad you're here. We give them a t-shirt. And they're all excited about having a t-shirt. So, you know, it's fun. We have faculty and alumni everywhere, and I would hope that our new president would take on the initiative to say, we want our transfer students here. Baylor is welcoming to these students, that we have a good relationship with the community college presidents and faculty, and that we were, not that we haven't in the past, but because we don't have the best reputation out there right now with transfer students, that we are open to this and that we understand the importance of having students at Baylor, not only incoming freshmen, but transfer students as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. And I want to call you about a friend of mine that's going to go to Richland and then transfer in.
Hi, I'm Jessica King-Garrity and work alongside Mary Reinhart as the person, the associate director in charge of freshman admissions. So I oversee an admission staff of about 13 counselors. And together we're all working to produce something that's very important to Baylor, and that's the next incoming class, class after class. And I just think, when I think of the next president, that something that's been very valuable to our entire team, our entire staff this year, has been Dr. Garland's willingness to support and recognize the work that we're doing and the amount of hours spent on the road, the amount of time spent away from families. We had an he actually initiated an opportunity to meet all of the counselors earlier this year. They got to spend time with him face to face and talk about their territories and the uniqueness of every area of Texas and the United States where they're working. And I think that has made this year a really special year, especially for prospective students. And another opportunity we've had this year with Dr. Garland has been to openly invite him to different events and have him come. And so that's been really special. There's been several small coffees or different events, even with Mary's group, where Dr. Garland was in the room and prospective students have no idea who he is. And then we'll say, we have a special guest. And they're like, oh, we didn't know you're president. You know, just really special. And I think it sends a great message to all of the best and the brightest that we're trying to recruit every day, the students that are so crucial to Baylor's future, to have a to have a president that will support them even before they decide to choose Baylor. And then secondly, Another passion of mine as a Baylor alumni and an opportunity I had as a Baylor student was to study abroad, and I actually was the first study abroad and exchange program advisor many years ago. And I feel like one other area of emphasis I'd love to see from the president is an international perspective and someone who can appreciate diversity, the richness that international students bring to Baylor's campus, and really the presence of Baylor around the world, the unique impact we have as such a large Christian university to make on many nations, on students worldwide. And so I'd love to see a president that had a value for bringing international students to Baylor and all the things associated with that, the bridges that they have to cross and the recruiting that we would have to incorporate. I think that the international students here at Baylor add a flavor and richness to this campus that other students just would never get to experience. So I'd love to see a president that saw that as an important value.
Thank you. Okay, what about a pre-existing relationship or connection to Baylor? How important would it be for the new president to have a pre-existing relationship or connection to Baylor, understanding our traditions and our history and all the things that make Baylor unique? How important would that be?
When I was hired, it was like, what, you don't have any degrees from Baylor? Okay. You aren't even a Baptist? Why do you want to be here? You know? And it really only, I've been here 12 years, and I am more committed to Baylor than any of my other alma maters. I don't give to my other ones, I give to Baylor. So there was something about coming here. It didn't take me long to really feel like I was a part of Baylor and to love Baylor and the traditions and our Christian mission and all of those things. So I guess I can say from an outsider that it really didn't matter. I learned to love Baylor. I was embraced by Baylor, and I embraced it back. So I think maybe there are some folks here who have those Baylor connections that may feel very differently, but I learned to love Baylor, and Baylor has accepted me, so I'm not sure that that's a real deal breaker.
Okay.
So,
thank you.
Maybe another perspective?
Yeah. Anybody else?
I just want to concur with Ellie, because when I came here, I had my degrees from different places too. In fact, Ellie and I think we were hired the same day we were in orientation together. My father actually went to Baylor, so Baylor was always in the back of my mind, but we had moved away for many years, and I kind of just lost that whole thing. I wasn't really into the Baylor thing. When I came, I was kind of meh, because I'd been out in the world and I'd gone to a state school. And after about 4 years, Baylor really began to grow on me. So I think Ellie's correct. I think there's something about being here. If your heart is with the mission, then I don't think it is a big obstacle. You know, it might be advantageous to have had a prior Baylor connection, but like she said, I don't think it's the real deal breaker.
Thank you. Yeah, go ahead and take a number.
I'm Jeff Wallace, Office of Investments, and thank you all so much. I can't fathom the amount of time that you've already put into this process and what you're going to be doing, and I appreciate that. To your question, Mr. Arms, about prior Baylor experience. Maybe I can give the perspective from a guy who went here undergrad and law school and then out into the real world, and it may not have made sense on paper to come back, but that attraction to the vision and mission and values of Baylor. But having said that, even after being back several months, there are people that went here and people who didn't go here who have that commonality of mission and purpose to what Baylor is about. And that's the most important thing, whether that was acquired while at Baylor or away from Baylor, or if it was acquired having never been to Baylor, having that common commitment to the values and the mission largely encompassed in the 2012 vision, I think is one of the most important things. And it's been a humbling experience for me coming in as a guy who's a Baylor guy to see people who weren't even didn't have the sheepskin necessarily being able to share in that. And I think the international aspects that somebody mentioned and then the local aspects are important. And I guess in conclusion, I just say, I think, and I'm talking to people who know this because you're all leaders in your own right, but to me, one of the quintessential components of a CEO, of a leader, is being a visionary and having that vision. And I would say, as a cautionary note, not somebody who knows how to implement a vision, but somebody who would know how to live and feel the Baylor vision down in their gut, down in their soul. There are a lot of very talented people who can implement and have implemented visions, and certainly those would be useful giftings and skills, but moving it out of the gifting and maybe even into the realm of spirituality, somebody who really believes it down in their gut and in their soul. I'll use that word. I don't think that's too strong of a word. So yes, a visionary, yes, a leader, but with an authenticity born of that common mission and vision, whether acquired through their years of being a Baylor person or acquired through their life experiences and how the Lord has directed them over their lives. I think that's the most important thing. And to the extent being from Baylor helps, that's great, but not essential.
So. Thank you, Jeff.
Hi, Amber again with University Development. I wanted to give a perspective as an alumna coming back. Been at Baylor just a little bit over a year as a staff member, and I feel truly blessed to be here. And I feel blessed to have already a love and a passion and a history with Baylor. And I think our new president will have so many hurdles to overcome, so many things to learn, so many people to meet, and really so many challenges that if they already have a love for, an understanding of, and just the overall mission of Baylor in their heart, I think that will be a good starting place. Certainly wouldn't be a deal breaker, but I would vote yes for someone who was an undergrad or had some connection at Baylor.
Thank you, Amber.
Hi, I'm Wesley Longacre. I work in admissions. Just a little history. I graduated in 2004 from Baylor, and so I was here towards the end of one of our president's tenures, and then have been working here for the last couple years, so have seen another president exit. and my dad went to Baylor, and so I'm, very connected to the university, have been for a long time, but I've never seen, as far as what I can remember, what a peaceful administrative environment at Baylor is, or what it could be. And so just in that question, do they need to have Baylor connections? at first, whenever I knew we'd be looking for a new president, I was like, yes, absolutely. I feel like it should be someone who went to Baylor. I don't think that's an absolute for me personally anymore. I do think it needs to be someone that does have a connection or at least an appreciation and a love for what Baylor is today, who Baylor is today and where Baylor is going. Someone mentioned, you know, characteristics of his CEO and things like that. I think just more generally speaking, who this president is or what is he or she going to be like, to me, the biggest term that I would want to describe this person is a servant leader. I've heard, and it's, I think this session's kind of hard because I think a lot of us have probably read different things that have been said, and so it's hard to not think, oh, everything's been said or everything's already out there. But to me, I read that someone talked about someone who's not afraid to get their hands dirty, and that really stuck out to me. Someone who, you know, really is leading, but is also willing to listen and to take input. Someone who's not afraid to be wrong or, you know, to take advice in certain areas. You need someone who is visionary, but I agree that it needs to be someone who can communicate that vision with humility and with understanding, not someone who's going to step on toes and push to get their agenda done. And so in that regard, I think it, again, goes back to they have to love Baylor. I mean, they have to love what the direction that Baylor's going, not someone who's just looking at, oh, this is a great job opportunity, but this is something that I can feel called to do. And so I think servant leadership and then humility is the biggest thing for me, because I think it's a unique opportunity for us as Baylor staff, Baylor faculty, and Baylor students to step back and see what part do we play in a successful president and in encouraging them and in backing them, because, I mean, it's a team effort. We're not going to have a successful president without people behind them all the way, you know, the entire way. And so I think it's a unique opportunity for us to look and see how do we factor into the success of the next president as well. So I hope that we can continue to examine those things along with ushering in a new president.
Thank you, Wes.
Patricia Pack again. Can you touch base once you do start the search and get the applicants? Is there any plans once you get down to the finalists about having this type of sessions again with the different areas here at Baylor?
With the candidates
yes.
themselves?
One of your final ones.
That's one of those tough questions I'm going to avoid. No, you know, there is a price to be paid for a public process, and certain people will not be a part of a public process. If they're a sitting president at another university, they would most likely elect not to be part of a public process. And so Baylor being a private university, we have not discuss that, but just in all honesty, my guess is we would take advantage of being private and not having to have open sessions, and in order to have the best qualified candidates be attracted to this job. So I would say probably not, but I don't want to presume on my other board members. We haven't gotten that far along in the process to make those kind of firm decisions, but certainly a lot of state universities do that, and I understand the benefits of that.
I think this one's going to be easier for you. Patricia Pack again. What about, well, mine's just a comment more. I mean, I've been through the staff council and had lots of them, but mine is, at this point, I guess communication is a big thing. I think that's what we hear a lot through the campus, is that we do hear things that are happening at Baylor out in the community before we even know about it. Mm-hmm. And so I'm hearing that a lot from the staff that they hope that the new president understands that in order for us to be a Baylor family and in order for us to feel comfortable here, mm-hmm. When we do have a community person come up to us and ask us a question, that we're able to answer that. And we know about it. It's not a shock to us. I've been there where, you know, I've heard something and I'm sitting there, I don't have an answer for that. And they're like, well, you work at Baylor, don't you? Well, yes, I do, but I haven't heard about it. So I think the next president just needs to understand that it is important. If there's any way, of course, we understand that there are some things that you can't talk about, but if there's something happening at Baylor, it would be good for us to know, because in the long run, we're all donors too. And even if it's small amounts, we can help with certain things that are going on at Baylor if we're knowledgeable of those. And so I do hope the new president will understand that the more information that he or she is able to give us, I think we're going to be able to help back.
Thank you, Patricia.
Jill, let me ask a question.
Sure.
It's for the recording purposes. As we... You represent a lot of constituencies in the broader Waco community, as well as on various career paths, admissions, development, lots of other things. How critical is the Christian mission of Baylor / Baptist issue? I think that's something we'll have to be looking at, and I'd like to hear your perspective on that.
You mean verses?
No, not verses, but you know, what is the how critical from your perspective is that this person have knowledge of the Christian mission and the Baptist perspective as it uniquely is lived out in the Baylor world or understanding?
I'd like to answer that one. That's okay. We'll wait.
Hi, Joanne Sharkey. I'm Assistant Director of Student Services at Truett Seminary. I'm also a Baylor grad and a Truett grad too, so this is my third go around. I'd like to speak to that because it does touch on me personally as an alum, as well as a representative of Baylor and as a representative of Truett Seminary. I think that Baylor's commitment to Baptist heritage and to the Christian life is something that does distinguish it from other schools who have strived to maintain, you know, academic excellence, but moved away from their Christian heritage. And I think that it is sometimes seen as this idealized goal. Can we still be a Christian university and you know, strive for academic excellence? And I think that something that distinguishes Baylor is that we do try to embody that, and that we do say it's something that can be put together and that we don't have to sacrifice one for another. So I would love to find a president who can embody those things. I mean, I do think Dr. Garland right now is living that out in a sense, and I would love if we could find someone who can step into those traditions and acknowledge it and say, it doesn't just have to be a dream that we have to sacrifice as we try to compete with other schools in this area, you know, as we you know, grow and try to recruit students, but that is something that we can strive for. I guess as also, while I'm up here, I'll just say, I would love to find a president, too, that recognizes this aspect of Truett and all the other schools that Baylor has that really distinguish it from so many of the other Baptist schools and Christian schools and just schools in general. I think this is such a wonderful asset. And as I go out and recruit, so much of my job gets made easier by people first having name recognition for Baylor. You know, because Truett's a relatively new school, but people know, oh, I know Baylor, and Baylor's got a great reputation, and so it automatically makes my job easier telling them about Truett Seminary and recruiting students to come to our school. So I think going along with that question, I really think it is important to keep our Christian heritage, and that helps me as I try to recruit, you know, ministers to come to our school or recruit college students to come here, it would only serve our purpose better to maintain that Christian integrity, you know, with education. So,
thank you.
Dana Lee Haynes, Student Life. I've had the privilege to receive 3 degrees from this university, and I am a lifelong Baptist. And one of the things that I think is really important for the president of this university is to remember our founders, William Tryon, James Huckins, and Robert Emmett Bledsoe Baylor. And I think whether the individual happens to have Baylor ties, the significance would be for them to take a trip to Independence to see our original roots and just kind of take a look and get a picture of what Baylor was and what Baylor is now. And with regard to being Baptist, I think if we focus on our mission to educate men and women for worldwide leadership and service with the Christian commitment and a caring community, I think if the person takes that to heart, then they will be able to move Baylor forward with a vision, with the care and concern for all the constituents. And I've just had the privilege to see all of the presidents for the past 28 years that I've been here as a student and as a professional staff member, seeing their tenures and seeing how they care about people. And they have not all been Baptist. One was a Methodist, became a Baptist. Some of the members who have been members of the board started out as Methodist, became Baptist. We've had administrators who were Catholic who become Baptist. And so I think, but at the time they were here at Baylor, they were Baptist. And I think one of the other things too is with the president, just like many people here in this room, is embracing the ecumenical aspect of Baylor as it is now. As we look at the population of our students and our staff, we look at the religious denominations, and we can try to capture back the Baptist tradition and the priesthood of the believer, but I don't know that it necessarily is going to stay the word Baptist, because as we know, the traditional church has changed, the dynamics are different, but the key is, how much can we see in that candidate their real faith in God and how they live that out? And just observing their interactions with people, observing what service they're actually doing, and just seeing where they were at their particular institution, what type of transformation are they having in the lives of the administrations that they work with and the students that they work with. And so I think just that's a whole synopsis of my recommendations of a president. Thank you.
Thank you, Dana.
I'm Gina Docksitter. I work in university development. And I started working at Baylor about 7.5 years ago. And when I first applied, I had a friend tell me not to put down that I was Catholic. She's like, oh, you can't put your Catholic, you have to put your Baptist, or they will not hire you at Baylor. And obviously, that was not the case, but as a university, we accept students and staff and faculty as all sorts of different religions, but we're all still in line with the Christian mission. I still believe in Baylor's mission, even though I'm not Baptist. And I think it's more important to be in line with the mission and agree with the direction the university is going than to actually put a direct religion on the new president.
Thank you. As I think I mentioned earlier, this will be a recruitment as much as it will be a selection. And so we need to put together a compelling case for someone, why someone would want to come to Baylor. So do you have any thoughts or ideas or input on how we ought to go about selling Baylor, how we might present Baylor to the candidates and to the people that we would like to see be in this process? Folks from the development staff say they do that all day. They're tired of tired of doing that.
Ellie Kasten. The resources that Baylor has to offer are incredible. And you know, we can look at all our beautiful new buildings. Here we are. So we have tremendous resources, but we have tremendous human resources. It's not just the physical beauty that we find ourselves in. I have never seen a more diverse group of people who all care about each other. And that's the great thing. And it doesn't matter if we're labeled Catholic or Episcopal or Baptist or whatever. We have this genuine concern for each other and also each other's families. And I think any president of a university is going to want to bring their family, whether they look like me and have kids and grandkids as a family or younger or whatever. And so I do love the times when Baylor pulls together not only Baylor family, but also embraces our personal families. We love to have that experience, and I think that's one of the things when I talk to our staff, my staff, about is that we do family things, not just among ourselves, but then we include our own bigger families in the bigger Baylor family. So I think really stressing the human resources that Baylor has. And I will also say how wonderfully Baylor treats us as individuals and as groups. We are cared for. We are cared for monetarily. We are cared for in our health insurance, in our retirements, and all those things are very important. I think when we're looking to hire staff, I'm very proud to be able to say, if you come to work here, you will be taken care of, not only physically, but spiritually as well. So I think that's a big plus.
Great. Thank you.
Sarah.
I would say when you're recruiting, you have to sell not just Baylor, but also Waco. Mm-hmm. I think Waco has had periods of not having a really wonderful image and reputation. But I think that the truth is it is a very great community to live in. Many of the things that Waco has to offer are a result of Baylor. We have wonderful music and theater and other advantages, lecturers that are brought, you know, people who are brought in. But I think really to sell the whole package, that our proximity to larger cities is very good, but you really have the benefits of being in a smaller town without giving up the advantages of city life. And to me, it's the whole package. And sometimes that needs a little more selling, because, as I say, we haven't always had the greatest reputation.
Sure.
Would anybody else speak if I brought the microphone to your chair? Maybe you don't want to get up. And we'll give you a dinner for two at Outback Steakhouse along with that, if you want to participate. Here we go.
Yeah.
I promise not to get emotional this time. I don't think it even necessarily has to be a hard sell. I think Baylor, if we don't emphasize maybe even look at the struggles that we've had in the past, but look at where we're going, you know, forward. I think Dr. Garland is a great example of what a great university we can be when there's openness, when there's communication, when there's a president being involved and the staff opening up and the faculty opening up to this interim president. I think it's attainable. I think that that goal of being a Christian university that impacts the world and the community and the Baylor community in itself, I think it shouldn't have to be a hard sell now. I think the example that Dr. Garland is setting forth speaks for itself. I mean, I think maybe even, yes, we came from, but here we are now. And I think the example that, that the committees are being open and involving the faculty, staff, the alumni, the students is a great example of how far Baylor's come. It shouldn't have to be such a hard sell because there is a lot of positive about Baylor. That there again, you know, from coming from the community, I've always loved Baylor. I've always, my family has always loved Baylor. So it shouldn't be, have to necessarily be a hard sell. I think it should speak for itself and just the talking points. This is where we were. This is where we are. And it's a great future ahead.
Great. Thank you.
I'm Jeff Brown. I work in marketing and communications. I'm a writer, so I wrote down what I wanted to say. But I would hope that for the right person, Baylor would, in a lot of ways, sell itself. I think a lot of what we've heard today, we've heard particularly about the servant leadership and that sort of thing. If you catch the person who has that heart that matches Baylor's mission, it's going to appeal to that person. If you have to sell the university in a hard way, it's probably not the right person. We've got a very unique university, a place that does academics at a very high level. I'll throw athletics in there. We do athletics at a high level. And at the same time, hold faith so important that, that the Christian heritage is such an important part of where we've come from. And not just where we've come from, but who we are today and why we do the things we do. Why we try to excel in academics. Why do we try to sell in education. Why we try to teach students to be servants. All of that kind of stuff. And I don't think anyone else does that. I'm here, I'm an alum, and I've worked for the university, and I've left, and I've come back to work for the university again. And I'm here because I believe in the mission of Baylor. And I think certainly not everyone is going to be like this, but I think you've got an incredibly high percentage of other people who are here for the same reason. We've heard some of that here today. Faculty, staff, whatever. I wonder if there are any other universities of this size that have employees that are so united in a mission. And I doubt that there are any that are so united in this mission. The idea of high academics, high Christian values, Christian leadership, Christian service, and excelling at such a level.
Thank you. Well said.
We're getting close to time, so we'll allow time for one or two more questions if there's anyone. Just put it off this long, and now you're dying to say something. Last chance. I realize it was a sacrifice of your work schedule to be here this afternoon, and I truly appreciate it from a fellow staff member taking the time to come here today. Please do encourage your peers and your colleagues to get on the website, listen to the podcasts of these listening sessions. They are all available for you to listen to. Also take advantage of the web form that's on the site. Fill out the input form. If you're too shy to use the microphone, that's okay. Fill out the form and give your input. As they've said already, we just can't reiterate enough that this is the whole point. This is what we're seeking, is everyone's input. And I don't know of another way that, I may be speaking out of turn, but I don't see another way where they could be more deliberate in saying, listen, we want to listen to you. So please do take advantage of the resources that have been made available to us to let your opinions be known.
Yes, thank you. We really do appreciate your time. You're making the effort to be here, taking time out of your busy day. More importantly, we thank you for everything you do every day to lead Baylor and to serve her students. So thank you very much.